And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all don't talk about this show. This show. I mean, it goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. It's right across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! Big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there, the whole wide world, going to the World Wide Web, logging in, live streaming the show, looking inside the studio as I speak, live streaming on places like X and Rumble and YouTube and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then, oh yes, indeed, all you guys that are podcasters that catch it after the fact, if you're hearing me say all that, it's because what I'm trying to say is we can see everywhere you're at, we know it, and we greatly appreciate it. You're the only reason why this show exists. It's not for us, it's for y'all. So thank you very much. Text lines are going crazy. Let me get a few of these real quick. Allie from Athens says, Viva la Resistance, Colonel. Thank you, Allie, my friend. Said, it was a joy to watch you truly reach across the aisle last night. Who knows how you might be used by God in the way of Dr. West. Said, well done, sir. Thank you, Allie. I did enjoy it. And, you know, I guarantee you, if you didn't see it, so I was on CNN last night on the Abby Phillip Newsnight show. Oh, you got the picture up? At the last minute. In fact, I'll be honest with you, it was Allie. Allie texted me last night on the show, and she goes, you need a selfie of you and Cornel West. So when it was over with, we're about to leave, and I said, Dr. West, let's get a selfie. And he goes, let's do that. And he leans in. He's got this madman-looking thing going on. But he was just a – listen, I guarantee you there'd be times when we would go back and forth and probably be hard at it. But last night, he was like Mr. Graciousness, you know, just – basically loving on everybody. So it was a hoot.
It's a little bit of a breath of fresh air.
It was.
That you can actually be cordial when you disagree.
I actually thought I was going to go in there and have a lot. In fact, when they told me I was sitting right next to him, I was like, here we go.
I think he said at the beginning, he said, hey, he pointed to you and he goes, and I respect my brother right here and his ability to be wrong or right. And I was like, all right, that's cool.
And then when he lost his microphone, he had to lean over and talk into mine.
Yeah.
It was funny. But it was good. We'll probably have some more stories out of that. Scott from Huntsville says, I'm loving your monologue, thank you, about resistance and not letting life just happen. So I love your Six Flag example of a person making it happen. Anyone can make it happen. We have to do it ourselves, he said. I work as a government contractor, got laid off twice, went back to school, became a registered nurse, touching and saving lives while making a better living at it. That's the beauty of our country's endless opportunities. You gotta take them. Scott, thank you, sir. That is, listen, give Scott some applause. That's huge. That was America right there in that text. Thank you for that. So that story, I've told it before, but have you ever heard that story, JP, about the Six Flags guy? Did you ever heard that?
No,
I didn't.
It's
been a long time since I told it.
Don't believe so.
So more detail is this dude gets out of school. All his friends, they all got student loan debt. He's living in California, which is hard enough as it is because life's so expensive out there. And he lives near a Six Flags park. And he finds out he can buy a $150 year-round pass. And what Six Flags is banking on is you'll come like four or five times. No. Old boy lives so close. He realized his pass for $150 for the whole year came with two meals a day. So if you spend a day in the park, you'll get two meals, except that he went every day.
Yeah. And probably bankrupted him.
And it's in California, so it's open year round. Yeah. He probably got to where he knew his favorite place to stop. Oh, I know, but park right here. I can get to that place. Anyway, he didn't spend anything for food for basically a year.
That's genius.
It is genius. And he talked about, in the extended version of the story, he talked about how all his friends were like going out to eat, buying groceries, trying to afford life, and then trying to figure out why they didn't have any money at the end of the month. And he always was making double payments on his student loan and got them all paid off. Just ta-ta. And it was resistance.
Being a Six Flags and you're here.
That's right.
They probably got rid of that deal, though, after he did that.
He may be one of those that brought an end to the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
You know? Mike from Coxey, Alabama says, Colonel Phil, just make sure these people up in New York understand that we're just loaning you out. They can't keep you. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. John from Harvest says, Phil, love the monologue. Also, did you hear where Trump's trying to get Bagram Air Base back again? I did hear that. such a strategic asset in a region that we should have never let go. I was just channeling John from Huntsville with the aside. He is off topic. Channeling John from Huntsville. I like that.
Love the monologue. Also.
Yeah. Also, speaking of which, John from Huntsville, Phil Spectacular monologue. Also, did you hear that Ukraine launched its largest drone attack on Russia since March? I have not heard that. That's interesting. And by the way, JP says, I chose your Falcons to beat the Panthers on Sunday and they scored 0 points. How is that possible?
I said this last week. We did well the week before. We're probably going to suck this week. So. And then everybody called me a pessimist. This is just a realist Falcons fan here. You're and then what happened?
You're just an actual Falcons fan, is what you're saying.
Yes. I'm just in touch with reality.
Only non-Falcons fans are the one who picks them to win.
Yes, exactly.
I got you. Chris from Athens says, Colonel Williams, you need to try and get Greg Gutfeld to go on CNN for backup, especially if they have anyone from The View. That would be a hoot. I'd be honest with you, I'd be sitting there just like sitting back in my chair just watching because it'd be a bloodbath.
Yeah, which Gutfeld, his show is kind of a comedic twist on sort of, well, he's on The Five, which isn't his show, but he's on a similar kind of format. And yeah, I don't think Abby Phillip would be able to just walk over him like as she tries to do with everybody.
No. David Bucky says, where'd he go? Said, Phil, our daughter lives in Kern County, California. And there's a quote. I guess it's a quote. Says, yeah, quote, concerned with the excess of oil and gas companies, refinery closures, and the expensive price of gasoline in the state of California, Gavin Newsom signed legislation that fast-tracks the approval of 2,000 new wells per year over the next 10 years in Kern County, a significant oil-producing region. And then he says, so much for California's EV mandate. Indeed. Indeed. And then it says, famous Phil? No, I'm not famous. I'm just having a good time. Going where God calls. And then last text, and I'll jump on some materials here. Said, you should invite Abby to be on your show, her Wolverine Dan, your atheist friend, and Jeff Mendiana, all on one show. We should, that'd be a hoot, wouldn't it? Oh, my gosh. I don't think she'd do it. What do you think?
No.
I'll ask her. I'll be there next week. Abby, when are you coming on my show? Come on. Come on. I'll argue with you on my show. I'll control the mic. How you like me now?
Yeah, on our turf.
That's right. Hey, listen, we're going to jump into some home fries here in a second, but I already anticipate the very first piece of home fries that I'm going to talk about is one that JP is more the expert on, so I'm looking for all the feedback. But we got a few minutes for the break, so let me just kick it off now. Every once in a while, you got to remember that there's news out there that is like more significant because it's closer in relation to where you live than where it is somewhere else, and it can impact you even more. And we like to cook up a batch of what we call home fries. Mmm, smell them cooking, home fries. All right, JP, jump in here, man. So in case you did not see the news, and the one that I've got here is from Yellowhammer. I'm as an Auburn guy, I'm rather blue about this, but Bruce Pearl is retiring. He's leaving Auburn basketball, but he also made an announcement about what he's going to do politically. JP, what do you know?
Well, he actually is now Auburn's ambassador. So I think the technical title is assistant to the athletic director. So I'm not sure what the position entails, but he's like an ambassador for Auburn's athletic departments, essentially, is what his position is right now.
So if I were to retire from Right Side, can I be Right Side's ambassador?
Feel free. It's kind of what you already are.
I'm the head chef and bottle washer right now.
Yeah.
So Bruce Pearl, he's retiring from basketball. He's going to be the quote-unquote ambassador for the athletic department as a whole.
Yeah.
All right. Which I think is cool, by the way. What I love is you will watch a football game, you'll watch a baseball game, Auburn, and you'll see Bruce Pearl sitting up in the stands.
Shirtless in the student section. Shirtless
and cheering in the student section, exactly. All right. Is he running for office?
No, not anytime soon.
He says he's not.
Yeah. He said in the video that there's a lot of talk about him running for Senate, and then he said he wanted to be an advocate for Alabama or something like that, and that Auburn's allowing him to be an advocate for Auburn. So pretty much, you know, saying that he's not going to be running for the Senate, which we all knew already. He can't run as a Republican, so it's probably not best for him to run because he's not going to win if he's not a Republican.
All right, so I'm going to make a bold prediction. You ready? Mm-hmm. I'm going to make a bold prediction. Hear me out on this. What time is it? 2:44 on September 23rd, 2025. Mark it in the archives. Bruce Pearl is officially resigning from his position, retiring from his position as a coach. he's going to be in this gig where he's quote-unquote an ambassador for Auburn. I predict that sometime within the next 5 to 6 months, he's going to get a Trump appointment to something. He's going to be like the Trump appointee to, I don't know, Title IX or sports, or for that matter, maybe replace Mike Huckabee as ambassador to Israel. Who knows?
He may go alongside Mike Huckabee.
He maybe. Could. I mean, I don't know. But the other piece of this, though, is there is a strong belief that Congressman Mike Rogers, who represents Alabama's 3rd congressional district, I believe it is, who is a pretty powerful member of the House, but nonetheless, that is not going to run again in a couple of years. And that's the district that Bruce Pearl lives in.
Yeah,
I'm going to predict that he's going to get a Trump appointment, get his GOP chops on, get past the 6 years required to not be allowed to run for office as a Republican because he donated once to a Democrat, and then he's going to come back and run for Congress.
I think it's something like that. He will run for office eventually. It just won't be anytime soon because of the – I think this was a I want to retire situation, and I want to run for Senate, and then it all shucks. I gave money this past time. You know, I think he probably intended to retire, hoped that he could run for Senate, but was told he couldn't. So I think now that's where he kind of pivoted to, okay, well, how do I do something with Auburn and still retire from coaching? And his son, Steven, has now signed a 5-year deal. So,
yeah.
But anyway, I did a podcast today on this exactly.
Is it already out?
It's already out today, this morning, and talking about how the reaction of some folks, and Mike Wilbon in particular, talking about how, you know, Auburn pushed him out because of his political beliefs or something like that. Complete nonsense. Auburn loved Bruce Pearl. Everybody at Auburn loved Bruce Pearl. There was no muzzle put on Bruce Pearl, and he was not pushed out because of his outspokenness. Michael Wilbon, I guarantee you cannot name 2 or 3 of the, you know, topics that Bruce Pearl is passionate about. I think he just saw that he was on Fox News and liked the Republican Party and deemed him as some, you know, racist guy, which Michael Wilbon was very much for the BLM, you know, NBA players kneeling for the anthem. So that's, you know, who this guy is. So I was a little bit shocked by some of the talking heads in the sports world saying, you know, this was Auburn pushing him out because of his political beliefs when they couldn't even tell you what his political beliefs are.
And the reality is, stop and think about where we are. I would bet that 90% of the fan base not only loves Bruce Pearl, they love the things he says.
Yes, yeah.
So there's that.
You know, it's they want to make it about race when all it was Bruce was advocating for Israel because he is Jewish and the Republican Party is the pro-Jewish party. That's all it is to it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. He will run for something, but not anytime soon.
All right, we're in home fries right now. Very first story there was that Bruce Pearl is retiring. From active coaching for Auburn University after having a Final Four season with the basketball team. And now he is the quote-unquote ambassador for the athletic department at Auburn. And I'm going to bet there's more in his future. Got to take a break. We'll take that break right now. We'll come right back from that break and do some more home fries. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're doing a round of home fries. Cook me up some home fries, JP. Cook them up, man. There it is, sizzling in the pan. Okay, so this is a combination of my time last night at CNN and home fries. So last night I'm in the green room, and I was told that we were going to talk about the Kamala Harris interview with Rachel Maddow, and that I probably should watch it since it was live in the time. Well, I would much rather have poked myself in the eye with a sharp stick, but I went ahead and watched it. And I was just, you know, taking notes and getting ready for the things that I would say that would disagree with everybody else on the stage. And we wound up not even getting a chance to talk about it. But what was interesting to me, though, was in the middle of talking about it, Kamala Harris is talking about Democrats who are out there to start carrying the torch for the next generation. And she names Barbara Drummond, Democrat, running for the office of mayor in Mobile, Alabama. And I looked over one of the guys in the green room who was probably liberal. I don't even know what his name was. He was doing the show after mine. I looked over at him and I said, that may have just cost Barbara Drummond the election. But anyway, she was all like, she was digging in for like Zohran Mamdani, but then she tried to couch her terms and come off the Zohran Mamdani bus to say, you know what, there's other people too. We got to keep our eyes out for. Listen, I'm going to play the clip for you real quick. JP's got it. 1819 News ran a story on this. Kamala Harris, Rachel Maddow, talking about Mobile's mayor race. Go.
Not the only star. I know that, you know, he's in New York, and I know New Yorkers think they're the center of the world. world, and here we are in New York having this interview.
It is the biggest city in the country.
And I love New York, as the saying goes. I really do. But, I mean, there are people like Barbara Drummond in Mobile, Alabama, Helena Moreno in New Orleans. They're all running for mayor, too, and they are stars.
Okay, let's be clear. Barbara Drummond is not a star. She's just not. And if you've ever been around her much, and I've met her, I will just say, if that's the future of the Democrat Party, Republicans are going to do fine. But she is running for the mayor's race, and there is a pretty good chunk of blue down there in the Mobile region. So the question is, how's that going to go? I don't know yet. But I'll tell you this, the teachers union just threw $100,000 into Barbara Drummond's race. So any notion, oh, by the way, any of y'all out there that are like, well, I'm an AEA member, and I'm just glad they've begun to soften up and see the light, and they've come around to being more conservative. Oh, they just picked one of the most liberal Democrats from the Alabama State House and threw $100,000 into her ability to try and take over the second largest city in the state of Alabama. And Kamala Harris is on board for her, by the way. So now you got AEA money and Kamala Harris, who, by the way, I did not miss that cackle at all. I have not missed that cackle one bit.
I haven't missed her at all.
No, the whole thing.
Yeah, when we see videos of Joe Biden still out and about, it's hard to believe that he was president just, you know, several months ago because of how...
How doddering he is.
How fragile, like, if a wind blows over him, he'll probably, like, just... fall apart, it looks like. But then you look at videos of Kamala Harris and you're like, wow, she actually, like, thankfully Trump won a landslide, but she could have been president. And the way she even talks and carries herself, it's like, how did we even come that close to Kamala Harris being president?
You know, she's got her book out right now, which is called 107 days. I was so ready to talk about this last night. 107 days. The very title of her book is an indictment of the Democrat Party.
Oh, yeah.
Because her campaign was only 107 days long.
She calls out the Biden administration in the book saying that they didn't support her. And
I'm talking about the title.
Yeah.
The title alone, 107 days. You know why it was only 107 days? Because they couldn't get their act together. They threw Biden off the ballot when he shouldn't have been there at all. And they had her run for only 107 days. It's crazy. But yes, the rest of the book, you're right. She throws everybody under the bus.
It's everybody else's fault. They didn't support me well enough. They didn't do
this. Tim Walz was a horrible VP choice.
I wanted to pick Pete Buttigieg, but he's gay, so I couldn't go with him. Like,
yeah.
She said that, by the way.
Even Rachel Maddow kind of called her on that one.
Yeah.
So you're saying that, well, don't you find that to be a bit homophobic or something?
Yeah. No. I meant everybody else in America is homophobic.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah.
I'm the woman of color, don't you know? I mean, she'll play that card every time she gets a chance. All right, we're going to cook up more home fries after this break, but I'll be honest with you, there's this funny stuff. But yes, that is former Vice President Kamala Harris calling out Barbara Drummond, who is running to be mayor of Mobile, Alabama, as one of the future rising stars of the Democrat Party. And I'm like, how about no? How about double no? Like, nobody, no, is going to believe that. Anyway, I just find it interesting. Teachers union money and Kamala Harris endorsement. Whoop, whoop. I mean, that's just like layers of, I don't want that person
to
be a
walking endorsement for the Republican candidate.
It really is. He ought to take that. You know what? I bet he already has.
Yeah.
I bet he's taken that and put it on a mailer and it's already going out to mailboxes everywhere. We're coming up with hour number two, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. We're cooking up a batch of home fries. Oh yeah, makes me hungry just hearing it. All right, so I got one for you, just by the way, in case you didn't think the race was crowded enough. Have you heard we got another candidate in the U.S. Senate race?
Yeah, I've never heard of him.
I've spoken to him. I don't know much about him. So a guy named Morgan Murphy, Alabama Daily News has a story that came out yesterday. Morgan Murphy, who's a former advisor to the Tuberville campaign, and I think he also worked in the White House, didn't he, or something? But yeah, he was a special presidential, he and I talked on the phone. He used to work for General Keith Kellogg, who is the special presidential envoy to Ukraine. And he kicked off his campaign Monday night. He's running for U.S. Senate. So we now have Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, U.S. Representative Barry Moore, former Navy SEAL Jared Hudson, and now a guy named Morgan Murphy, who is a former advisor to Senator Tuberville and also worked in the Trump White House to some degree. And so are the Democrats running anybody right now? Is there a Democrat running for U.S. Senate?
Yeah, that one guy, Kyle Sweetser, the guy that was at the DNC in a Kamala Harris campaign ad.
I thought he was running for governor.
No, he's running for his initial thing was he was going to get Tuberville out of his seat, but now Tuberville's not running again. So I think he's still running, though. Kyle Sweetser is
a Democrat or independent?
Democrat. Oh, full-fledged Democrat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
Well, I don't know if you had it in your stack over there either about 18-19, the potential other candidate that could be in the race soon.
Another one?
Yeah.
Who's the fifth one?
AJ McCarron.
No.
Mm-hmm.
What?
18-19 said that he's seriously thinking about it, but also in the article said that he's also leaning heavily on a lieutenant governor candidate run for because he wants to stay in Alabama. But said that he's heavily considering running for either lieutenant governor or Senate.
Okay. We're going to get all the football players in office. So, all right. So does that mean you're automatically going to like him because he's AJ McCarron?
I'd have to see what his platforms are.
I'm proud to hear you say that. All right, so yeah, Morgan Murphy is allegedly running for U.S. Not allegedly, he's running for U.S. Senate. We'll get him on the show at some point. He and I did talk on the phone a while back, and I was aware that he was thinking about this, but I had not heard that he had actually thrown his name in the hat. But he officially has now. So there's that. A recent poll, by the way, of the U.S. Senate race for the seat being vacated by Tuberville. Has Marshall in the lead with 37%, followed by Moore at 16%, followed by Jared Hudson at 7%, with 40% remaining undecided. It's a long way to go between now and the primary, but I'm going to tell you right now, if we're about to have four, maybe five candidates in the GOP primary, all of whom have got some pretty serious chops, AJ McCarron's going to get people just because he's a football player. What do you bet?
Well, I think
RTR, baby.
I think he's going to end up running for lieutenant governor, if anything. That's what the 1819 article was saying. So I don't know who else is running for lieutenant governor. I know Wes Allen is later.
Wes Allen, coming. Andrew Sorrell.
Yeah. So.
I just forgot his name. Pate. Pate is running. He's the current. Why can't I say his name? Anyway, he's the current ag commissioner.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty strong three-way race right now. For that one. So AJ McCarron, where's he been? Is he a Republican?
Oh yeah, he's been very vocal in his support for the Republican candidate for Mobile, actually. And so he's a Republican conservative. He's been a podcaster / quarterback coach guy, so he's just been kind of doing his own thing, but apparently
so he lives in Mobile
politics. Yeah, that's where he's from.
Okay, so we would have, all right, now here's the other piece. All right, what does this mean for the geographics, because it's funny how where you come from in the state sometimes matters. There was talk about what it would be like if Barry Moore got elected. Well, we would technically have both of our U.S. senators then from the Wiregrass region of our state. And everybody up north's going, hang on a second, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Although I really think they would still represent. And then if you had Steve Marshall, well, he's originally from Marshall County in northeast Alabama. Okay. Or Jared Hudson, he's from Birmingham. So this guy, A.J. McCarron, then you'd have two South Alabama? I don't know. But then now you're saying he's going to run for lieutenant governor.
That the 1819 article said that I think that would be more likely because he wants to stay home. So, but he would have to be.
Interesting.
Think about that. You'd have Tuberville and his right-hand man of A.J. McCarron, Auburn, Bama. You got balance.
Okay. The Iron Bowl every time they get together.
Exactly.
Of course, Coach would make him take laps.
Yeah, probably.
All right. So speaking of elected officials, so you may recall that in recent days, the U.S. Congress passed a resolution in favor of a National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. And it was designed just to honor him. It was not setting up a new national holiday. It was not going to require any great expenditure of funds. It was an honorary opportunity to pass a resolution for a National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. And the Alabama Democratic Party members basically thought Kirk was racist, and they said no. That's our two members of our U.S. delegation, our Congresswoman Terry Sewell and Congressman Shamari Figures, and they both voted no. And the Alabama Democrats now are trying to defend them. And here's their Facebook post. You ready for this? The Alabama Democratic Party, which is ate up like a soup sandwich, man. The Alabama Democratic Party said, quote, expecting two black Congress members from Alabama, one of whom her mother was Selma's first black city councilwoman, the other, his father, fought the Ku Klux Klan to honor a man who promoted racism and the Great Replacement Theory is wildly entitled and absurd. That's where your Alabama Democrat Party is right now. They are determined to double down on the idea that Charlie Kirk was racist. I am pretty sure if Charlie Kirk had married a black woman, they would still say he was racist. The whole thing. But anyway, yeah, so we have our two Democrat members of the U.S. delegation voted against just simply remembering Charlie Kirk and memorializing him. Speaking of not racist, is Donald Trump racist, JP?
CNN said he was, so I believe them.
So Quentin Ross is the president of Alabama State University, one of the HBCUs, the historic black colleges and universities. I know Quentin Ross. He's a good dude. He's a Democrat. He's a very, very ardent Democrat. He was in the state Senate when I was there. And Quentin Ross then went on to become the president of Alabama State. Well, Quentin Ross is saying, hey, this is a big deal, a good deal. The Trump administration just gave $495 million to the HBCUs around the nation. Recent announcement by the Trump administration of a surprise injection of $495 million into the nation's historically black colleges and tribal universities should be viewed as exactly what it is, he says, an investment into institutions. HBCUs and tribal universities serve some of the most economic, depressed, underserved communities in our nation, he says. And then he went on to basically say, this will be put to good use. This is what we need. And he's a national member of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, and he's witnessed firsthand, he says, what happens when there's funding or a lack of funding. And this action by the Trump administration, he said, will help us in fulfilling our mission. I will say this. He could have quietly said thank you, but for Quentin Ross, who is a black man, a Democrat, former minority leader in the state Senate, and the now president of Alabama State University, he wrote the piece himself, to write this piece that came out in Yellowhammer News yesterday, I thought that was a class act, and I thought that was the way to go. And in fact, I wonder if I still have his number, and I may have to send him a text, but the reality is that was good doings right there. I don't know what prompted the change or the restoration of funding, but they're saying right now, hey, Trump administration did this, we see it, and we appreciate it. And we're actually saying thank you. That's pretty refreshing, to be honest.
Something Terry Sewell and Shamari Figures couldn't do. They couldn't put away their political stuff just in for a second.
Probably not. Nope, they can't. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. Text line is open, 833-687-4448. We'll come back, tell a few war stories about the CNN gig last night, take some text messages, and then coming up bottom of the hour, we got Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen on. I'm going to ask him about the High School Athletic Association still doing everything it can to just hose kids in school choice. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so several text messages. Let me get a little bit going here. David and Bucky's sends me a YouTube link. I can't look at it right now, but he says, Phil, when you have time, he says, take a look at this. Johnny Carson said it best, and everyone in the entertainment business would be wise to follow suit. I bet I know what it is. Without looking at it, it's probably the clip where Johnny Carson said he's chosen to stay out of politics because why would you want to offend half your audience? And, you know, last night, that was one of the interesting dynamics on the show. We talked about the Jimmy Kimmel situation, which we're going to get into in more detail later. But the point was brought up, and I think it was, Kevin O'Leary was on with us last night, Mr. Wonderful from Shark Tank. And he said, basically, just entertain. And I think at one point I said something along the lines of, what you're supposed to be about is comedians supposed to have, you know, timing, content, and delivery, and he failed on all three. Jimmy Kimmel did. I so agree.
And Hannah Navarro tried to say that to Kevin O'Leary, like, well, maybe some of the Shark Tank listeners will say the same thing about you. And I go, that is completely ridiculous. Kevin O'Leary is not a comedian. He's not a late night TV show host.
No.
He's a economics guy on an economic show, and the amount of politics that he talks about is all economics related.
And he looked at her and said, when have you ever heard me shill for a politician?
Yeah.
And she goes, you do it every time you come on here.
I could say, you know, people say what they say about Jimmy Kimmel, they say that about Anna Navarro. Not Kevin O'Leary. They say it about Anna Navarro because she's on a show that's supposed to be a comedy show.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about The View.
Mm-mm.
Nothing funny at all about The View. And they had Kamala Harris on today, by the way. Well, in fact, there it is on the screen. While I'm talking about it, it pops up on the screen. There it is. She's on The View, laughing, cackling. And you know what's crazy to me? If you look at it, The View has got her on there. They're all fist bumping. There's Anna Navarro. They're having a big, big time. They actually put the QR code on the screen for people to order Kamala's book.
You make it any more obvious.
Yeah, I mean, could you just go ahead and say, we're all in? Herb from Gurley, Alabama says, I watched you on TV last night. Thank you. Said to see if you had a believable countenance. You passed 100%. I did not get to see the whole show. Did you ever get to tell them what an FCC license requires? They didn't want to hear it. I tried. I did tell them that, you know, hey, FCC is actually a licensing organization. Have you read the Communications Act of 1934 that founded it? And one person said, I have. I said, well, I have too. They didn't want to deal with that. Herb, thanks. Steve from Harvest says, I saw someone say Kamala Harris's book should have been titled 107 Excuses. Yeah. 107 ways to kill an entire party. How about that? Alif Mathens just says, you got it. What was that about? Is that from the
exchange between me and her?
Oh, she's talking to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I see it now. Yeah. All right, great. Missy from Fontville says, Coach Pearl to take over for Charlie Kirk? That's interesting. I don't think so.
No, I don't think you'll see Bruce Pearl at Turning Point USA.
Probably not.
No.
No. No. Joe in Tennessee says Trump is doing things like a boss, kicking Schumer and Spartacus, the UN, and Big Pharma to the curb all in one day. Love the winning. Yeah, so Trump spoke today in the UN. I will say this. How about this? He even joked about it when he got up there on the screen, but he joked about it sardonically. Go look up the word if you don't know it, sardonically, a little wry humor. He said, he basically pointed out that he and the First Lady, Melania Trump, got on the escalator to come up into the chamber, and the escalator quit working right as they stepped on it. In his words, he said, it's a good thing Melania's in good shape, otherwise she would have been thrown to the ground when it came to a screeching halt. So they had to walk up the stairs. And then he gets up there to give his speech, and the teleprompter, which had been working for the previous speaker, wouldn't work. And then while he's speaking, his microphone is at low ebb when the previous speaker had been at good levels. Sound like somebody in the tech has got a little passive aggressive going on. What do you think? I mean,
No, those are all coincidences, it sounds like.
Well, now, JP, they could very well be coincidences. You may be right. How about no?
Let's take the tinfoil hat off, okay?
No.
You sound a little kooky there.
I just, I was on The View last night. It rubbed off. The View. I was on Abby Phillip.
Well, essentially. Yeah.
Okay. Paul from Huntsville uses the term ruffian emeritus in case there's ever a need to have somebody coming in after they've already retired from Right Side. Ruffian emeritus. I like the title. That's good. Listen, we're gonna talk about plenty more stuff. In a few minutes, we're going to have Secretary of State Wes Allen calling into the show. He is currently the Secretary of State for the state of Alabama. He's also currently running for Lieutenant Governor in what could wind up being a very full slate if we hear that A.J. McCarron's going to get in. But that being said, I want to talk to him about what our current Lieutenant Governor is doing, pushing back against the Alabama High School Athletic Association. So let me prep the battlefield on this. You're going to hear Wes Allen in a few minutes. I'm going to ask him directly about this. But the Alabama High School Athletic Association, which in my opinion is kind of like the sports mafia for Alabama, they have decided on their own that they will not allow students who participate in Alabama's School Choice Act to be eligible to play until they have had a year of residency at the school or enrollment. That's the law actually specifically says, when it was passed by the legislature, nothing promulgated by the Alabama High School Athletic Association shall prevent the immediate opportunity for students to participate in all activities at the new school to include sports. In other words, they passed a law that said school choice. That means parents get a choice. That means parents get to say, I want my child to go to that school. And that means when they get there, they get to do everything that school has. They can play in the band. They can do the debate club. They can take part in the classroom curriculums, obviously. They can do the dual enrollment programs at that school with the local junior college. And, oh, by the way, they can play sports. And the AHSAA is saying no. And right now there's a lawsuit sponsored by the governor against the AHSAA. And we've got the current Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, who I believe set up a hotline? He set up something so people can call in and give their stories and complaints about it and begin to track where it's going. He's pushing for legislation to deal with it in the next session as Lieutenant Governor. So coming up next, we'll talk to Secretary of State Wes Allen, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down to some major ground across the Southeast, U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, and I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains that we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we now call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches to North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in, just for good measure. And then there's all y'all who catch it live streaming every day, and all of y'all that podcast it also. The bottom line is, wherever you catch this show, thank you so much. We appreciate you. You're the reason why we do what we do, and you make it worthwhile. Hey, listen, I want to go ahead and jump to the phones. So somebody who's been a friend of this show, our current Secretary of State in Alabama is Wes Allen. And if you're not familiar, Wes Allen was formerly the probate judge for Pike County, Alabama, and appointed, I think, back then by Governor Riley. And then he was also, after that, he served in the Alabama House of Representatives. Right about the time I was leaving the legislature, he was coming in, but I was proud to serve with his dad in the Alabama State Senate. And Wes Allen is our current Secretary of State. He is now running also to be Lieutenant Governor. That's a mouthful. Let me stop talking and bring him on. Secretary of State Wes Allen, how you doing?
Doing well, Senator. Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure when you invite me to be on your show, and congratulations to all your success.
Man, well, great. I appreciate that, and thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Listen, let me ask you, first of all, Mr. Secretary, we got some big elections around the state right now. I do have to ask, because every election matters, but we got like the mayoral elections in Mobile and a few others around the state that are fairly significant.
Yeah. Sure.
A lot of folks don't realize a lot of things fall under your purview as the chief election officer for the state. How do you feel about election integrity? Are you feel like we're in the right place for all these big elections right now?
Yeah, I do, Senator. You know, I campaigned on election integrity. It's a top priority. And, you know, from day one, we recognize that voter file maintenance is really the key. It's the foundation. It's where you all start. So that's where we have been. Every day when we get up and we go to work, that's what we've been focused on, is voter file maintenance. And, you know, we've done a lot of really cool things in conjunction with the boards of registrars. And let me just point out, we keep a centralized file. We identify those that, you know, that need to come off the voter file, and we push that out to the registrars. The registrars, what many people don't realize, the board of registrars in all 67 counties, they are the only one by law that are able to register someone like Phil Williams or remove someone from the voter file. We can't do that from our perch and our position as Secretary of State. We can just have a robust and regular voter file maintenance. And that's what we have tried to do, did our dead level best to do, to push that out to the county levels to make sure we have clean and accurate voter files. I mean, it's just like daily hygiene. You brush your teeth, you take a shower, you wash your hair. That's the same posture I take with voter file maintenance in the state of Alabama. That's one thing we have been really, really focused on. And I'm very proud of our record when it comes to that. And very proud to work alongside those registrars in all the counties to keep Alabama's voter file clean.
Well, I've seen it firsthand. I mean, I can speak to that. We've had some replacements of registrars in places where they needed to be replaced. And then there's that. And that accountability has been in place, too. And then what y'all have done with the voter rolls has been huge. Yep. And so those mayoral races coming up, I'm trying to think what the date of those is, but is it November? Are we seeing when is the mayor's race in Mobile? Is that one coming up here very soon?
Today.
It's today. Today.
That one. And
holy
you
cow!
Got all the runoffs going on. Yeah, September 23rd. Of course, the regular election was August 26th, and they had the runoff today, which is going on now. You got Gunnersville. You got Enterprise.
Yeah.
You got bunches, really, all over the state that went to runoff, either with mayoral or city council, you know, that wasn't decided in the first vote on August the 26th.
Well, I have seen, and you've seen, I've seen races decided by one vote in this state. It happens.
They were tied in Gunnersville.
I know it. That's crazy.
You remember, they were tied. And one thing I wanted to point out, too, Joe, didn't mean to interrupt you, but just, you know, the municipalities, when it comes to those elections, those municipalities, because people think at us as the chief elected official, really we have no lawful authority jurisdiction over how those are administered. It's run at the county level, it's run at the city level, and they have been working hard all summer long in preparation.
Well, I was about to point that out, but thank you for bringing it up. Well, listen, what else? I mean, so you've got a lot going on as a Secretary of State, but I know you're also looking at Lieutenant Governor, and that's a great office, and it gives you a platform to do more things. I mean, you're already statewide in one scope, but you've done both. Now, you've done kind of like county in terms of, you know, being the chief election officer of the county when you're a probate judge, and now for the state as Secretary of State. But in between that, you served in the legislature, and so you've seen that side of things. Now let's talk about, all right, there's a situation going on right now. The state of Alabama's got a lot of people ticked off, and that's the High School Athletic Association, which I refer to as sports mafia in the state of Alabama. And I'd love to get your thoughts on where this is headed, because the current lieutenant governor that you're vying to replace when he terms out, Will Ainsworth, is hot on this idea of fixing the situation with the High School Athletic Association, not letting kids who are participating in our new school choice plan play sports right away. What are your thoughts on this, and can you see yourself taking action on it if you're elected?
Yeah, I'm right there with him. I support Governor Ivey and Ledbetter, and their action against the High School Athletic Association. Back when I was in the legislature, Phil, I got some experience in this. There was a young lady that was deemed ineligible in Troy, Maury Davenport, a basketball player, and I filed a bill in 2020. To audit the Alabama High School Athletic Association.
Wow.
Now, that bill didn't go anywhere because we were halfway through the session, and then COVID hit. Remember COVID and all that mess in 2020. So the bill died there, and it never really gained traction after that. So this is something that I've been keeping an eye on and tracking for 5 years now. And this, I agree, we got to do something about that. There's a lot of it's taken in the law, and it's USAC. Needs to happen? And I just don't understand how the High School Athletic Association got to where they are on this position.
Well, you would have a unique platform being the lieutenant governor to not be the one who actually passes legislation, but at least be able to support and promote it.
And
do you see? I mean, do you anticipate that there will be legislation coming up in the next session, even though you're still Secretary of State at that point? Can you imagine there being, and what would you do if you were in the lieutenant governor's seat at that point?
Yeah, no, I think there's going to be some legislation. If I had to guess, with as much media coverage, with as much, how people have been talking about it and how high profile this issue has been, I would expect there would be some legislation. And if I was sitting across the street in the lieutenant governor's seat, just like Governor Ainsworth, like he's doing, he's supporting these kids and being able to play. I would support some type of action there, across the street.
One of the things I've noticed about Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth is he has he's been a more vocal lieutenant governor than we've seen some in the past. Even more vocal than Lieutenant Governor Ivey, certainly when she was in the seat. But that being said, there's things that the Lieutenant Governor does have a quick opportunity to be involved in. You've got workforce development commissions. You've also got the the military committees that that help assist and advise to the military and installations on our state level. What are your thoughts, and what do you want to see yourself being super involved in when you become lieutenant governor, if you do?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned two good ones. We got to continue the good work that's been started in workforce development. I've got to have a well-trained, well-positioned workforce in the future. And so continue to do the good work there that Governor Ainsworth and the legislature has been doing, Governor Ivey, on workforce development. We've got to keep doing that. And like you said, the military and piece of legislation that has been passed to be military-friendly, be the most military-friendly state in the country, that's vital. And one thing that, you know, I focused on, not only election integrity in the secretary's office, but cutting red tape. You know, we passed a bill that cut out an annual report for a small business that they had to file each year and pay a $10 fee. And Bill, when we got that bill passed, thank goodness for that, Governor Ivey signed it into law. And by the time we step out of office, it would represent about $690,000 that's not going to be coming into our office. Now, the secretary's office is totally funded by fees that are generated by the business entities division of our office. We're not in the general fund. So we're going to cut out $690,000 in fees there. By the time I step out of office total in January 2027, we're going to cut about a little over $2 million from our budget. Now, that's been tremendous, and we want to continue that track, because we got to make sure we peel back the red tape, peel back the administrative rules, make sure we are business-friendly, make sure these small businesses can go out and be successful. At the end of the day, I just want folks that are out there working hard, provide for their family, you know, have economic success, being able to invest in their communities, go to the ballpark, go to their churches, you know, those type things. I want people to be successful, and we have done a lot of hard work cutting the red tape and cutting back on our budget in our office. We're very, very proud of that.
Well, yeah, and I think all those are worthwhile. Listen, it's a wide open time. I mean, you got other candidates in the race right now, and the old saying is a week is a lifetime in politics. Right now you're looking strong in the race. How do you feel about the race overall?
Man, we've had a great summer, and you know, May 19th of 2026 seems like a long time off. You've been in this before. You know how it is. It seems like it's a long time, but you know, you get Christmas here, it'll be on top of you. You know, we just day in and day out, we just stack days. We just continue to, tell our story, and we want to use the relationships that we've been able to build around the state to be a positive influence for the state of Alabama, and to make sure that our state is successful and our people are successful. And we live in the greatest state in the whole union. I travel all over, and we got the best people. And I just want to make sure that we're working hard each and every day representing them in a first-class way.
Well, listen, we appreciate you making time. We're going to have you on more, I'm sure. You're right. May is going to get here quick, even though it feels like that's a long ways away. You're right. But that being said, Mr. Secretary of State Wes Allen, candidate for Lieutenant Governor, we appreciate you. We'll have you back on again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Senator. Appreciate you.
Take care. All right, listen, we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. Wrapping up the home fries. Take some text messages. You want to call in, you got it. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We'll be right back.